Hallelujah. Can we give God a shout of praise in the house this morning? Come on. Can we thank Sean and the worship team for doing an amazing job? We ate dinner till midnight, and he told me he had to show up at 8:15 this morning. And so, praise God. You know, he takes Pentecostal handshakes, if you know that. Praise Jesus. We love him, and we love his family. I want to thank all of you for being here this morning. I cannot wait to unpack the word that God laid on my heart for you. But before I do, I want to introduce my beautiful wife, Meliana. Give her a hand as she comes.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. I wanted to get up here. I felt tall when I get up here. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Again, it's such a joy. Such a privilege for us to be here this morning, join you to worship God. Yes, beautiful presence of God here this morning. Amen. It's just so wonderful. I grabbed some CDs here and a book I wanted to give away because, I mean, we're a firm believer of constantly feeding on God's word. Amen. How important it is what we feed on. I grabbed this one. It's called Defeating Discouragement. I know that many of us, many times in our lives, we have to destroy the wrong thinking or vain imaginations that try to get into our mind and discourage us. But that's why it's so important that we need to dwell. His word says that my mind, my heart is dwelling in the presence of God, in the word of God. It will empower us. It will strengthen us. Amen. Let the word, that's the one, the scripture I'm trying to remember. Let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. In other words, when we're constantly dwelling in God's word, it will take care what we are concerned for. Amen? In other words, God will change our thinking. Situation may be the same, but he'll change our thinking. He'll give us wisdom. He'll give us idea what to do, what not to do. Amen? So anyway, who won this one? You raise your hand real quick. Sister, honey, you come and get it. She raised her hand. You raise your hand again? Yes. No, you go over there and give it to her. She raised her hand. Praise Jesus. The goodness of God. Amen. Who won this one? Again, when we come to Christ, we will not find crisis, problems, sadness, depressed, all we will find is his goodness. Amen. Who raised his hand? Her hand? My goodness. You guys, come on. You want the goodness of God? Yes. You want his peace, his joy, his love, his mercy. You can only find it when we come to Christ. We'll not find it anywhere else. Also, I grabbed this one, the Song of the Prophet. This is John's very first book. It's the entire book of Song of Solomon. We took every verse and explained what it means because a lot of people don't read that book because of the language of the book. I remember last year, one lady came up to me. I was standing in the back with our book table, and she said, "Hey, I heard you talking about the book Song of Solomon." I said, "Yes, it's a beautiful book." She said, "I got saved 15 years ago, and I came across that book, and I started reading it, and I closed that book because I feel weird." And I was like, "Wow." He was thinking, my goodness, think about this. When our mind has not yet been renewed, we can easily misinterpret God's word. Amen? Anyway, first and second verse of Song of Solomon, it says, "Kiss me with the kisses of your mouth." Is that in the Bible? Yes, it is. If you dig into that book, you'll be wondering, oh my gosh, those language. But again, it's a beautiful book. That book, because God's word, it was not written by I mean, how we think, it was written prophetically. And it has to be interpreted prophetically, a revelation that we have to receive from heaven. So otherwise, we'll misinterpret God's word. So anyway, what does that mean? Kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. For me, I'm sure I shared here. That should be our prayer. That should be our cry when we come through that door, or when we open up God's book, or when we come to church. That should be our prayer, our cry. God, I came here this morning. I didn't wake up this morning to come to church to see a preacher or see a worship team. Jesus, I came here this morning because I want a word that comes directly from heaven, a word that comes straight from you, because one word from you will take care what I'm going through. One word from heaven will take care what my son or my daughter is going through. One word from heaven will touch my body and heal my body. As his word says that man can live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. Amen? God, sing through the worship team. Don't let them just sing any song. Let them sing a song that will minister to me. That's what it means. Otherwise, we'll just come. Well, whatever going to happen, that is what's going to happen. No, we should come with a hunger, a desire, a passion for God. God, touch me. Speak to me through your word. Heal me through your word. As Sean said, if we didn't come with that desire, we'll walk out the door, same person. But again, that should be our cry. That should be our desire. So anyway, so this woman came, talked to me in the back and said, I stopped reading that book because I felt weird. So I started explaining to her just the very first verse that I just quoted to you. And she said, oh, let me buy one book then. So, okay, I didn't mean it for you to do that, but what I want you to really understand God's word. And she's, okay, let me just buy one book. So she bought one book. She went home. She came back the following night to the service. She came and talked to me too after the service in a book table. And she said, hey, I bought the book, and the book that I got last night, I went home and I started reading it. Man, I didn't realize how much I've been missing out. Me and my friends, that we go to a different church, we came here just because of the revival. But me and my friends, they same thing. We don't read that books because we thought it's a different kind of book. But then since you explained to me and I start understanding, I didn't realize that God loves me so much. Amen? Yes, again, if we really don't understand how much God loves us, we don't know the authority. We don't know who we are. We don't know that we are the apple of God's eyes, that no weapon can form against us shall prosper. Amen? If you're not here last night, I share last night how I got a COVID test and wasn't positive. I threw it away because you can't travel with a positive test. Throw it away, and I told the girl, test me again. Why? Because I know who I am. I know I'm not going to carry sickness. I carry life. Again, if you don't know who you are, you'll accept everything that you're facing. So I told her, test me again, because I have to travel. I pray, test me again. She gave me. It was negative. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. I didn't want to have time to get into that whole story. But again, I wanted to encourage you. We need to get into God's word, read his word, so we can really understand how God thinks about us, and our mind, our emotion will line up with how God thinks about us. Amen. It will empower us. It will strengthen us. Anyway, I want to give this book away to somebody. Brother, you raise your hand real quick in the back. You can come and get it. Or John will give it to you. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, this is our last day over here. I'm going to share with you guys one more story because tonight, I'll save some for tonight. But I wanted to share how important it is for you and I to obey and listen to the word of God. Because some of us have received a prophetic word, not only the prophetic word, but I have to say all of us had received a prophetic word. If you've been here attending in a church, every time a pastor or the worship team, every time he speak or preach a word, that is a prophetic word for all of us. Amen? And I know some of us have received a prophetic word through this meeting, and I know this morning and tonight also. But I want you to understand, don't be discouraged if you don't receive a prophetic word, because the preached word are prophetic words for all of us. Amen? But I want to show you guys a story how important it is for you and I, because prophetic word, if we want to see those words being fulfilled in our lives, we do have a part to play. It is so important for you and I to, in other words, it's so important for you and I to obey the word. Because I remember this past December, John and I, we were ministering in Alaska. And during that time, even over here, everywhere, it is snow over here. And I know it was snowing so bad when we were there in Alaska. And the church gave us a church van that we have to drive back and forth to church from our cabin. We have to use their van to drive back and forth. But I remember it was snowing in the daytime. So we woke up the next morning. Pastor called and said, hey, you guys meet us at this restaurant. We're going to go out to lunch. I said, great. And we said, great. So we got into the van trying to drive to where the restaurant is at. And guess what? The van could not move because it was black ice. I'm sure you all know it was snow in the daytime. Nighttime, those snow turned into black ice. So the van could not move. It was spinning and spinning. So we called, someone came and picked us up. We went out to lunch, and then someone came and picked us up in the evening to take us to church. And then after church, the pastor told us, John, Meliana, wait, I'll take you guys to your cabin. And so we said, okay. So we hop in his truck, and then we drive, getting ready to turn to the street, go down to where our cabin is at, Pastor Daniel. In fact, they're building a $27 million church right now. Hopefully it'll be done before the fall. So anyway, he stopped and he said, oh, John Meliana, I can't drive down there. If I drive down there, then my truck was stuck also. You can see how bad this black ice is. So he said, I wanted to see if you guys can get out and walk down there. And I said, Pastor Daniel, are you kidding me? I'm on my heel. I was going down here. It was 27 degrees. I think it was minus. Yeah. Are you kidding me? How can I walk down there on my heel? And he said, Meliana, if I go down there, then all our vehicle, we already have one vehicle down there, stuck there. If I go down there, I'm going to stuck there also. And if I have someone come and get me, I wanted to see if you guys can get out there and walk down to your cabin. And after he explained that to me, and I said, oh, okay, Pastor Daniel. And then he said, oh, but before you get out and walk down there, Meliana and John, I want you guys to wait here in the truck. I'm going to get out, and I'm going to show you guys how to walk on black ice. And I said, wow, I didn't know you have to walk a certain way on black ice. And maybe some of you already know. So he got out in front of his truck, and he said, you guys have to do exactly what I told you guys, because if you guys walk the way you used to walk, you'll fall, hit your head on the ice, you'll get hurt. And I said, okay, so how you walk? So he stood there right in front of his truck, in front of us, and he said, make sure your foot does not pick up from the ground or top or from the ice. Make sure your foot is stay on top of the ice. And you have to shuffle like this. Somehow I think you're making the ice rough so you can be able to stand on it. And then you put one foot on the front. And you do the same thing with your left foot. Do not pick it up. Pick it up and just shuffle like this and put it on the front. Have you guys do that? Or it just in Alaska, okay? I think just in Alaska. And he showed us that's what you have to do, and you have to do it all the way to the to your cabin. And if you do what I tell you, you will make it safe to your cabin. I said, okay. So I got back in the truck and we got out. And of course, when I got out, I forgot. Why? Because you don't walk this way. You walk this way, you know? And I'm from Hawaii. We don't have snow there, okay? And of course, I totally forgot when I got out. And when I got out, I start walking this way, just a couple steps. And of course, just that first step, I would start wobbling. And Pastor Daniel said, Meliana, I just showed you how to walk on black ice. You can walk the way you used to walk. Because he saw me wobbling. And because it was black ice, the hope, and it was, I mean, because some of the, I think it was not straight, you know. And he said, please do what I told you. And I said, oh yeah, I forgot. So I start shuffling, you know, and shuffling and doing the same thing. And both of us did the same thing. And we made it safely to our cabin without falling and got hurt. Amen. Praise God. So why did I show you the story? Okay. The thought was because the thought was of how important it is for you and I. Listen, I have to listen and follow exactly the direction that Pastor Daniel gave me. Why? Because Pastor Daniel lived in Alaska. I don't live in Alaska. If I want to make it safe to my destination without falling and get hurt, I need to listen to those who have experience. I need to listen to those who live there. Why? Because I don't live there. I'm from Hawaii. I need to listen to those who knows. Do you know that it is the same thing with God? It is the same thing with God. If we want to reach our destination, the prophetic word that has been spoken over us, or the preached word that has been spoken over this church, if we want to reach our destination and see those words being fulfilled, it is so vital for you and I to obey, especially the word of God. If we want to see the promises of God or the prophetic word have been prophesied on our lives. Why? I heard so many words that were spoken over many of us or many of you. And you may think, oh, how can that be? Listen, I could have said, man, I'll do my own thing. I'll walk the way I used to walk. That's not how to walk. I'll walk the way I used to walk. Listen, again, if I walk the way I used to walk, I will not make it. Some of us, we may receive a prophetic word. How can that be? I'll do my own thing. Listen, some of those words will take you to a place, just like what I said. Some of those words, it will take us to a place that we had never been walked before. Amen? But again, it is so vital for you and I to obey the word. If we said, oh, I'll do whatever I want, listen, you and I will not, or especially the word that we have received, we will not make it to our destination if we'll do our own thing. Amen? Think about this, another thing that I learned when Pastor Daniel said, Meliana, make sure that your feet is not picked up from the ground. I have seen so many people, they try to do their own thing without being grounded in God's word. It is so important for you and I to make sure we are grounded in God's word. Listen, our gift and our talent, we can do our own thing. Last year alone, I have seen, great leaders, Christian that I had looked up to, have built great churches, great ministry, fell and do immorality. Why? Because we can build a great church, a great ministry, but if we are not grounded in God's word, let me tell you what, we will slip and fall and get hurt. Why? Because we're not meditating, dwelling, and obeying God's word. But if we're trusting God, obey his word, we will never slip, but we will make it to our destination. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Yes, again, like what I said, some of us will walk in a place that we had never walked before. But that is why it's so important for you and I to obey the word of God. Amen. Praise God. Give Jesus another big hand clap. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
That's a good word, honey. That's a good word. That's a good word. Because we can't, well, I was there. Every when she shares that story, I get the mental picture. I was there. And the interesting thing is, I couldn't help her. Because if I help her, then we both fall. And you got to understand, church, sometimes we come into the house of God wanting people to help us walk when we should be walking on our own. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you this. If I grabbed a hold of Meliana, we're both fall. And I probably wouldn't be here because I probably have a head injury. And no, I did not like getting out of minus 27 degree weather. But I had these shoes on. And I just shuffled all the way to the cabin. But ladies and gentlemen, I made it. And the thing is, in this season of life, in this season of our world, we've got to walk in a different way we've walked. As a church and as a people, we can't do the things we used to do. Tomorrow, I have to go on a plane. I wish I didn't have to wear a mask on that plane. Tuesday, I land in Honolulu. I wish I didn't have to show them my COVID test negative. I wish I didn't have to do that. But I do know one thing. I do have to preach the gospel. And if I'm going to preach the gospel, I have to walk in a way that I've never walked before. Are you hearing me? And preaching the gospel to me is more important than the COVID test and a mask. Are you hearing me? Because I'm going to get the message out. And because the good thing is, at least I don't have to wear a mask when I'm preaching. Come on. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk about something this morning that the Lord laid on my heart, a very familiar passage. And then I'm going to switch over to the New Testament. And I'm going to try to get this done as quickly as possible. But I never preach quick. I don't know how to do that. Because next week, Friday night, we'll start a big conference. There'll be about 3,500 people there. And I'll be allowed to speak as long as I want to. So, because they know that I'm long-winded, even though we've got other speakers. And I'm very grateful for that. But everybody say wilderness. What comes to your mind when you think about wilderness? For some in this room, you may think that it's a negative. For some in this room, it could be a place of danger, uncertainty. But I believe this with all my heart, that there are moments in our life, both relationally, corporately, and individually, where we find ourselves in the wilderness. How many have ever been in a wilderness? A church family could be in a wilderness. A marriage could be in a wilderness because we're going to go to Hawaii and then we're going to go back to Arizona. Then we're going to go back to Hawaii a few days later because I got asked to do a marriage conference. And I looked at the pastor and I said, Pastor, his name is Dan. I said, Pastor Dan, you want John and Meliana to go to a marriage conference? To do a marriage conference and be the speaker? And I looked him in the eye and said, You know what, Pastor Dan? Me and my wife don't need to be the speaker of the marriage conference. We need to attend a marriage conference. Come on. And he said, no, I want you guys to go. And so we are. And even though we've been married 37 years, there are points, in, even in the relationship, where we find ourselves in the wilderness. But ladies and gentlemen, the wilderness was never designed by God to be a permanent place, a permanent destination. And when the wilderness is a permanent destination, ladies and gentlemen, then something is wrong there. Something is, when people are always in the wilderness, then something is wrong. Because that's not where we were meant to live. Because I have found out that sometimes what I've learned in the wilderness causes me to rely on the promises of God. It relies upon the prophetic words that God's spoken over my life. And it causes me to access the word of the Lord in the wilderness. Are you hearing me? Because, ladies and gentlemen, what we have, this is what I've witnessed going all over the country. What I've seen is believers not operate on truth, but operate on theory. For instance, if you're in the wilderness, you're in the wilderness in your body. For instance, if you get diagnosed with a life-controlling disease or cancer, or you're going through a divorce, I can tell you right now, you cannot rely on theory. You know what? And sometimes what has happened is church in America, they have right doctrine, but their doctrines are based on theory and not based on experience. Because, ladies and gentlemen, this is not a classroom. The church is not a classroom to fill my mind with more intellectual information. It is here to give us what we need to walk through the wilderness and accomplish the will of the Father. Can I hear an amen right now? And so theory can never, a lot of people have a theory about healing, but they never experience healing. A lot of people have a theory of certain aspects of what God can do, and they don't experience what God can do. So God sends us to the wilderness, allows us to go in the wilderness, so we don't rely on theory, we rely on His voice. But I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3. And then we're going to go all the way over to the book of Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 and 28. But listen to what it says. I'm going to read out of the New King James Version this morning. It says, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply. How many want to live and multiply? How many want to live and multiply? How many know that when you read this, God wants me to live and multiply? That's why I don't believe in poverty. Come on. Poverty is a curse. Are you hearing me? We're not designed to live in poverty. We're supposed to live and multiply. Go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember the Lord your God, led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. Now, everybody say 40 years in the wilderness. That's a long time to be in the wilderness. Even if you're 80 or 90 in this room, 40 years is a long time. And I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that's a long time to be in the wilderness. So if I realize that I don't want to be in the wilderness 4 years. I don't want to be in the wilderness 4 hours. And I sure don't want to be in the wilderness 4 minutes. Come on. 40 years is a long time. But let me just tell you something about God. How many know that around the throne of God, what are the angels singing? Holy, holy, holy. How many know when you've heard a song over and over again, you get tired of it? But aren't you thankful that the angels aren't tired of singing how holy God is? You know why? And I noticed this because in church today, we don't come around and sit around the throne and say, holy, holy, holy. We sit around the throne and say, hurry, hurry, hurry. Are you hearing me? It's almost 12 o'clock. Something is wrong with that picture because God's not in a hurry, ladies and gentlemen. God's in a holy. And because he's in a holy, he allowed them to go through the wilderness. Why? Because of this. Listen to this. To humble you and test you to know that what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. Verse 3. So he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor your fathers know, that he might make you known that man shall not live upon bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to live by what the CDC says. I am not going to live by what health official says. I'm not going to live about what the news says. I'm going to live on by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. See, because ladies and gentlemen, a lot of times we feed ourselves on somebody else's mouth and wonder why we're worried. Come on. Are you hearing? Wonder why we're scared. Wonder why we're fearful. Why? Because I don't live off what the president says. I don't live by what the governor says. I live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I don't live by what the lockdown says. I live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And because, ladies and gentlemen, I can't live off my own talent. I can't even live off my own ministry. I cannot live off my own gifting. I can't live based on my own efforts. I live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. See, this is why I don't understand why everybody didn't come to the altar when Sean gave the altar call. Because many of us, we can easily live in America off unemployment. We can live off our own jobs, after our own talents. But ladies and gentlemen, we are a Christian church who believes that man does not live upon bread alone by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. I don't live based on what the mayor says when they call a mass mandate. I don't live based on your mandate. I live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Come on, church. Because if we don't live out of the mouth of God, we're going to live off somebody's mouth. Somebody's going to feed us. Somebody is feeding us. Because I've noticed this. I've noticed this truth. This is just something that I've observed. When I go to different places around the country, and because here's the thing. Now, I don't want to pick on anybody. I'm just making an observation, a generalization. I want you to see this. When I travel the country, and after we're done with a series of meetings, you know, because my wife has me carry this heavy luggage full of books and CD, mostly books. They're very heavy. Every time I check into the Southwest counter to get on my flight, I always tell the stewardess or the receptionist or whoever, that's very heavy. He said, it's over 50 pounds. I said, it's really close. What's in there? I said, my books. It's really heavy. Just to warn them. But I've noticed something. That when I leave a place and I pick up my luggage and it's light, that means that that particular spiritual family doesn't come to church and get the word. They go home and eat. Because they understand that man does not live upon bread alone. They don't just eat on Sunday morning. they eat Monday, they eat Tuesday, they eat Wednesday, they eat Thursday, they eat Friday, because they understand I've got to get as much as the word inside of me because it changes me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to stay with that thought of man does not live upon bread alone. But I want you to go all the way over to Matthew 15, starting in verse 21 through 28. And I'm going to be reading out of a different translation, out of the NIV 1984 edition. And I say that on purpose. Listen to what it says. Matthew 21 through 28, NIV. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed." When I read that, that troubles me. Because I believe in something. I believe there's a difference between being demonically oppressed and being demon possessed. Ladies and gentlemen, I do that believe that demons make Christians sick. I do believe that demons attack people's minds and make them depressed. I don't believe that someone who's depressed or sick is necessarily possessed, but I do believe they're oppressed. And I do believe there's freedom in the house. Come on. And I do take the theological stance that ladies and gentlemen, that there are those that have been oppressed for a long time and haven't experienced freedom. But when that woman acknowledges that her daughter is demon possessed, not just demon oppressed, ladies and gentlemen, that means that that daughter's behavior is controlling that household. That is not just someone who literally has issues emotionally, psychologically. That is someone that is actually manifesting full-blown evil. And I can tell you right now, if there was somebody in this room demon-possessed, as soon as Sean started singing, they would have manifested. Come on. And I've seen this happen over the years where people have been possessed by demonic power. And when they're possessed by the demonic power, they are no longer conscious of what they do. The demon is controlling their words. The demon is controlling their actions. The demon is controlling their behavior. Are you hearing me? And this woman, she knows that that is not my daughter's destiny. Because it also says she's demon possessed and she's suffering terribly. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we got a whole bunch of demon possessed people in Kansas City. Are you hearing me? We got demon possessed people running governments. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Being controlled by demons, listening to demons to make decisions. But this woman goes to Jesus because she knows man does not live upon bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Because it's only God that can deliver her daughter. Oh, come on. The psychiatrist can't. The drugs can't. The shot can't. The vaccine can't. Only God can deliver her daughter. Church, that we need a move of God like never before. We need a move of God in Kansas City. There are great churches and great ministries in Kansas City. I'm so thankful for them. But ladies and gentlemen, we need a move of God where Jesus casts demons out, heals the sick, raises the dead, and cleanses the lepers. Can I hear an amen right now? When Sean was singing that song, House of Miracles, I said to God, make me a house of miracle. Come on, make me a walking miracle. Not just this house, make us, because it's not the building that's the miracle. You're the house that miracles want to live inside, because God wants to release a miracle through you. She's demon possessed. Now, ladies and gentlemen, she's in the wilderness. Because how many know this? How many know when one of your loved ones are suffering, you're suffering with them? One of your church family who is suffering, you're suffering with them. They're in the wilderness, but you are too. And you're along walking alongside them. I can remember when my daughter was going through her divorce. She was in the wilderness. But mom and dad were in the wilderness with her. We were watching her every night. She'd call her mother crying. What have I done? Have I disobeyed God so much that just allowed this to happen? All those emotions. We're walking in the wilderness with her. Because there's a thing, you don't leave who you love just because they're in the wilderness. This mother cannot just leave her daughter in that kind of state. How can we leave this nation in that kind of state? How can we leave our cities in that kind of state? How can we allow demon-possessed people to be control others and control the environment? She's crying out in the wilderness. Have mercy on me, son of David, and heal my daughter. Why did she even go to Jesus? Unless Jesus had a reputation. Why can't Pebble Creek have a reputation? Why can't you have a reputation that you're a walking house of miracles? Oh, come on. You're walking in deliverance. Church, I was in Fresno, California. I was with this. I've known the pastor since she was four, her and her husband co-pastor, and I never saw more demons cast out in my life that day. They cast out demons for 2 hours. There must have been 30 people that got delivered. I was amazed. Powerful anointing on the young couple. So thankful for that. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, those women and those men walked out of that church completely free. Here she is. She's in the wilderness. And there's people sitting here in the pew today, in the chair today, that you might be in the wilderness, and your family's in the wilderness as well. What are you going to do about it? Am I just going to expect things to change on their own? Am I going to just hope that we can get the right vaccine to end it? Come on. Let me just tell you, demons are resistant to vaccines. You cannot vaccine a demon. Come on. You cast a demon out. They're immune to vaccines. Come on. They still get COVID. Come on. When you vaccinate them. Come on. Because they're confused. Because first of all, they said the vaccine heals you from getting COVID. And now they're changing their mind. You got to get a triple boost. Because Melianne and I were talking about, oh, are we going to Hawaii so much? Maybe we should get a vaccine. I said, honey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Last month, they said it works. This month says I need another boost. What are they going to say next month? I'll just stick that expensive Q-tip up my nose for now. But ladies and gentlemen, crying out, oh God, will you heal my daughter? But what does Jesus say? Because she understands, I can't live like this. And neither can my daughter live like this. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. But listen to what it says. Jesus did not answer a word. Ladies and gentlemen, you come to God with such a great request, and you hear nothing but silence. How many know that silence can drive you deeper into the wilderness? God, you're not even giving me a word based on what I need. But she understands, I'm not going to stop at silence. Because man does not live upon bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. I have yet to see a word proceed out of your mouth. Because at that moment when she got the silence, this is exactly what happened. Because I can come up for prayer 100 times and have nothing happen. And you know what? I can take that. I can misinterpret that as a sign that it must not be God's will to alleviate my suffering. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So that the lack of silence, or the silence rather, then is going to dictate policy. No, I have a bigger picture. I'm not going to allow the silence to detach myself from the bigger picture and seeing my daughter healed. Because the silence of God doesn't mean God said no. Because man does not live based on silence. Oh, come on. This is something you've got to, we got to get in our spirit. So here it is. She doesn't leave. So she's crying out. Jesus isn't speaking to her. But listen to this. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. So think about now what she's experienced. First of all, she got the silent treatment. Is Jesus passive aggressive? Some of you got that. I'm not talking to you today. I just don't feel like talking to you today. You made me mad. So I'll just, instead of yelling and getting over and talking it out, I'll just be quiet. I won't talk to you. But now the disciples open their mouth, right? And they say, send her away. She keeps crying out after us. In other words, they're indifferent. Crying out after us. I'm thinking, this last time I checked, she wasn't crying after you, Peter. Or James or Matthew. She was crying after Jesus. So you think that he's crying after you? She doesn't even want to have nothing to do with you. But how many have ever been at a church where the preacher pays no attention to you? Oh, I don't like Brother Harkey. He's too long-winded. Well, I'm just going to be a little long-winded more. I'm just teasing you. But you know what? When you go to somewhere and you go somewhere and people are indifferent towards your need, you wouldn't want to come back. So now she goes to church and she goes to the church and all the disciples are indifferent. They don't care about her daughter. Man, that's why some people go to the Mormon church. Come on. I want to go somewhere where they'll do help me. Come on. They didn't even greet me. They just gave me a dirty look. They wanted my money, but they didn't pray for my daughter. Come on. That's the last time I'm going to that church. In fact, they just want me out. They want me to sit me, go away. We don't want you here. That's what they said. They kicked her out of church because she wanted her daughter to get healed. But let me ask you a question. Are you going to allow the indifference of other people keep you from your miracle? Oh, come on, church. You're going to allow somebody's insensitivity towards your need to keep you from getting what God has for you. I'm sorry, disciples. I'm not giving you that much power over my daughter or over my head. Now, you want to see something, it drives her deeper into the wilderness. She's got silence. She's got indifference. Now, listen to what happens. He answered. Praise God. God's going to answer. I'm going to get out of my aisle. Now, right now I'm going to shout. You know, I missed our sister on the organ today. Oh, come on. Oh, I miss her, man. How many appreciate her ministry? Come on. It blessed me every single time. And now Jesus is an answer. Oh, praise God, I'm going to get an answer. But listen to the answer. I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. That's a racial statement. You're a Canaanite. I'm not sent to you. He's going deeper. He's now attacking my identity. Church, let me tell you something. If my identity is more important than my deliverance, I've made myself a god. Oh, come on. If my perspective is more important than my perspective or how I feel is more important than delivering my daughter, then something is wrong with that picture. Obviously, I don't agree with racial slurs, obviously, but Jesus is doing something. Come on. He is doing something. He's testing her. Because man shall not live upon bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You've got to see this. I'm going to go down this road. Because here's the problem. If my race is more important than healing people, then my race and culture has become the idol that I worship. Let me just tell you, church, whether we're black, white, brown, Hispanic, Tongan, or whatever we are kingdom people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because I'm not here to attack your race. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it's not about racial. Come on. How many know demons don't care about the color of your skin? They'll land on anybody that opens the door. We call that defilement. And here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. At that moment, she could have been so caught up in herself that how dare you tell me you're only sent to the lost sheep of Israel, which you're not. That's absolute rejection. You know what? But I'm not going to let being rejected. Oh, come on. Because rejection is a big issue. And when we get rejected, guess what we want to do? We want to walk out the door. I don't know about them people at Pebble Creek. They rejected my request. She could have gotten offended at the response of the Lord. Now, I'm not going to get ahead of myself because here she was. Now that drives her deeper in the wilderness. Silence, indifference, rejection. When I look at those three things, I'm thinking in my mind, I'm not going to let the silence, the indifference keep me in the wilderness. Because they potentially could lock me in the wilderness where I can never become who God wants me to become or see what God wants to do through my life. Now notice this. So how does she respond with the silence, the indifference, and the rejection? I'll tell you how she responds. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. Ladies and gentlemen, why did Israel die in the wilderness? because they rebelled in the wilderness. Because they didn't get the answer they wanted. Are we going to rebel against God when we don't get the answer we came from? We came for, rather. Or the answer we want. What I love about this woman is that I haven't got the answer I wanted, but I'm not leaving you. So I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to lift my hands and I'm going to worship you whether I get the answer I want or not. It doesn't change who you are and what you can do in my eyes, because man does not live by rejection. Man does not live by indifference. Because let me just tell you, you live off of your rejection, you'll die in the wilderness. You live off your offense, you will die in the wilderness. You live off your misconception and misinterpretation, you will die in the wilderness. You live off of silence, you will die in the wilderness. You live off of the indifference of others, you will die in the wilderness. But I'm not dying in the wilderness because I don't live off rejection. I live off of every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. That's why Pebble Creek will not die. I don't care who's in charge or who's not. Because God built the church. Are you hearing me? Because we don't live off what they say. We live off what he said. Oh, come on. Now you got to see this. She's down on her knees worshiping God. She doesn't get the answer she wants. And certainly, ladies and gentlemen, you would have thought that as she's worshiping, the heart of compassion of God would have come through Jesus. But listen to what he says. He replied, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." At that moment, I'm wagging my tail out the church. I didn't know we had dogs in church. That little dog, as far as I'm concerned, I couldn't understand him. I thought he was speaking in tongues. That gave me confirmation, Sean. Think about it. It's not right to give the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. That was not the answer she was looking for. Jesus is as far as psychological and counseling, he has completely pushed that out. That's not very empowering right there. That's not very comforting or very encouraging. That's driving her deeper in the wilderness. Come on. But see, we forget Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 and 3. It's to test you. Come on. To see what's in your heart. That man shall not live upon bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And I couldn't wait to say this. Because people do not read the scriptures in this kind of light. Because up to this point, Jesus has yet to say anything about the daughter. Everything that was directed to the woman, not to the daughter. Because guess what? Man does not live upon bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Jesus has yet to say anything about the daughter. That's why I came here. I didn't come here for me. I came for her. Oh, come on. Are you hearing me? Because if we get this in the spirit, guess what will happen? The demons will flee. Sickness will flee. Rejection will flee. Mental illness will flee. Anxiety will flee. Oh, come on. She says yet to say one word about her daughter. No word. There hasn't been a word yet. Every word was directed towards her. I'm not sent to you. Silence, indifference, rejection, and now complete put down in belittling her. And reducing her to a dog. Let me tell you something. If being reduced to a dog as a parent and as a grandparent would see my daughter, my son, my grandchildren healed, I don't mind being a dog.
Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Because that's the issue here. The issue here today is I've got a bunch of demon-possessed people in America. See, if I'm overly concerned about me and how I'm treated, then I've made myself an idol. And I expect you to worship my identity. And when I do that, ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you this. I will never walk in the freedom that is available to me. And guess what? I will wander in the wilderness 40 years. Are you hearing me? Because Israel couldn't get it out of their mind. Come on. That they literally didn't understand what they were living by. They weren't living by manna. They were not living by a cloud by day and a fire by night. They were living off of every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And God put his instrument, Moses, to be a mouthpiece. Come on. But they rejected the mouthpiece that God sent because they put more faith in their mouth. Because it was their mouth that kept them in. Oh, come on. Because let me just tell you, your mouth can keep you sick. Your mouth can get you divorced. Your mouth can ruin your life. Come on. Your mouth in 1 second. Come on. You know what? Tomorrow I'm going to get on a plane. Unfortunately, I'm not going to fly to Florida. We have a hurricane coming in. So I'm just going to fly to California. So, and that's okay. But my mouth can get me kicked out of that plane. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing? My mouth could get me in trouble, ladies and gentlemen, but I don't live off my mouth. Even though I don't like them when they tell me, put your mask on, when you're in between bikes and tell me that stuff. I don't like that, but man does not live upon bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Because if I put more attention on their mouth, guess what I will do? I will respond to what they say instead of responding to what God says. So here she says, here he says, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Now, church, I don't know about you, but I want the bread that Jesus has. I want the life that Jesus has. Come on. I want what Jesus has. I want it received in me, and I'm going to do whatever I can to get that. And if I have to do some tricks today, I will. If I have to jump, if I have to live, if I have to go chase the ball and bring it back, I'll do whatever I can. Even if I have to go and speak in tongues on the video, come on, I'll do whatever I can because I want to see my daughter healed. Drives her deeper in the wilderness. Listen to what. You know what? She could have rebelled at that moment. You've gone far enough. Silence, difference, rejection, racial slurs. Now you call me a dog. I'm finished. I didn't sign up for this. Well, what do you like better? How you feel or going back to a demon-possessed house? Because when you got to go home to demons, how many know you can't exist there? Because pretty soon the demon will kill you. The demon will can be controlling you because obviously she went to Jesus because the demon's controlling the entire household, even her. You know what she does? She looks at him and she says, "Yes, it is, Lord. You're exactly right. It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to dogs. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." There's something that I'm hungry for. You know why David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord." I was glad when morning came and 6 o'clock arrived this morning, even though I had a steak omelet at 12 o'clock at night and felt like I walked in with a spare tire. Come on. Because that's what happens when I come to Kansas City. We go late. And we enjoy the fellowship immensely. Because I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in the house of the Lord. Do you know why? Because I would have drove 5 hours just to hear Sean sing, "You're a house of miracles." I got my word. I got my word, because man does not live upon bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of mouth of God. Now I'm going to walk around the rest of the year. I'm a house of miracles. I'm a house of miracles. I'm going to tell my grandkids, "You're a house of miracles." I'm going to tell my grandson when he calls me today, I'm going to say, "Levi, you're a house of miracles." I'm going to tell my other grandson, Ezekiel, "You're a house of miracles." I'm going to say, "Keala, Noelani, and Mahina, you're a house of miracles." Why? Because I came to a place where man doesn't live upon bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Because, ladies and gentlemen, there's something at the master's table that I got to eat from. Because I know, I appreciate IHOP. Come on. International House of Pancakes. But I like International House of Prayer better. Come on. But we go at Pancake Place around here. Come on. And I will tell you something right now. Why? Because I have to get to the master's table. Because if I don't get to the master's table, I will be at the wrong table. Because there's no way I can be at the master's table and not have joy. There's no way I can be at the master's table and not have an outlook of hope and goodness and grace. There's no way I can be at the master's table and not be on fire for God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when I see somebody discouraged and depressed who call them a believer, you're sitting at the wrong table. But I want to tell you, there's a table at this altar. There's a table in this church. Let's corporately get to the master's table. See, because let me just tell you, as I wrap this up, when I look at the story of Mephibosheth, what did David do to restore a cripple? Invite him to the king's table. Because as long as he's in Lodabar, he's at the wrong table. He's a prince and he belongs at the king's table. Let me ask you a question. Whose table are we going to sit on? Whose table are we going to eat from? Let me just tell you. Please don't listen to the Fox News table. It'll make you really mad. And don't listen to the CNN table, because you'll laugh at their foolishness. Come to the master's table. We're having church at 6 o'clock tonight, whether people come back or not. We're still having church. Whether you come or not, we're still having church. You know why we're having church? Because we got people that want to come to the table. Let me tell you what I found out last Sunday night. On Monday, I might be on Tuesday, because I was still in Peoria last week. The pastor came over to the hotel because we were preaching about 30 minutes away on Monday and Tuesday night last week. Pastor came over to bring the honorarium from the weekend, the offering, to me. He wanted to deliver it to me. We sat down, had some coffee for a few moments. And this is what he told me when he scheduled the meeting. He said, John, I almost called you because we did Friday night, we did Saturday night, we did Sunday morning, just like we did this weekend. I almost called you a few weeks ago and said, man, I just think that Sunday night's a little bit too much. They run about 300 because they've got, you know, worship team. They've got lots of activities. They've got a lot of people. And so there's a lot of other things that need to be done. So it puts a lot of strain on their volunteer help and their staff. And he told me, I almost missed it. Because it was Sunday night that a woman by the name of Wanda and her daughter, who's on staff at the church, brought her up on a wheelchair. She missed Sunday morning because she was so in pain, and her daughter pleaded with her to come to church that night. When she came up to the front, and the worship team was singing, there was altars were full. And I just walked over to her, began to prophesy, and said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Wanda got up out of that chair. Wanda walked, not only walked like this, you know, wobbling, because of muscles and neuropathy and pain. But Wanda, within the next 2 to 5 minutes, started dancing and jumping and actually picked her daughter up and twirled her daughter around. I got a video to show it. I saw another video this morning. Meliana showed it to me. Somebody videotaped it. And I thought about it. What if that pastor didn't have a Sunday night? Come on. Guess what? That woman would still be in that chair. Come on. Because man does not live upon bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you this right now. This woman is now at the master's table. I don't mind. I just want to get to the master's table because I need a crumb, because there's a crumb for my daughter. I don't care if I get a crumb. I want a crumb for her. That's exactly what that daughter did to her mother. The role was reversed. Come on. You know what she did? She brought her mother to the master's table. I don't have the gift of healing. I'm not a healer. Jesus is a healer. All she did was brought her to the master's table. And all of a sudden, the master dropped a crumb to Wanda. Oh, come on. And an entire church was transformed. The worship team is crying. We have never seen anything like this. Come on. Why, ladies and gentlemen? Because somebody refused to allow life to dictate policy. Because man does not live upon bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Listen, as I wrap this up, then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. How many want great faith? I need great faith. Because right now, if I had $1 million, I could spend it like that. I'd buy me a church in Tucson, just like that. And I still wouldn't have room for chairs. I still have to believe God for chairs. You know why? But we need people in the body of Christ that have great faith. See, and the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, we fight a cultural war. Because in America, you don't have to have great faith to live. Great faith is what's going to heal, get demons cast down. And we need believers that have great faith. Great faith. Because great faith, ladies and gentlemen, is what accomplishes things. I want Jesus to say, Meliana, you have great faith. John, you have great faith. Because it's impossible to please God without it. Because it takes no faith to rely on the government to take care of me. Doesn't take any faith. Doesn't take any faith to rely on systems to take care of my life. But it takes great faith to believe God in the midst of a wilderness. That great faith, oh Jesus. Woman, you have great faith. Then he said, your request is granted. How many want your request granted? In other words, now she understood, man does not live upon bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. I'm thankful that I didn't leave when I got rejected. I thank you I didn't leave when I got offended. I thank you I didn't leave when there was silence. I thank you that I didn't leave when I was upset, that I stayed here long enough until even I got called a dog, I didn't leave. Because what would happen if they gave an altar call? Would all the dogs wag their tail up to the altar? Come on. How many people would show up? We asked you to come to healing, you don't come up. What happens if Jesus said that all the dogs come up? Come on. There must not anybody that want a crumb from the master's table then. Come on. But she didn't care about that until she got a word. Woman, you have great faith. Your daughter is healed that very hour. Can I give God a praise right now? I don't know about you, but how many know at that moment she came out of the wilderness? How many want to come out of the wilderness? How many want to come out of the wilderness? Church, this verse is burning in my heart. I'm going to preach it in Maui. I'm going to, in front of 3,500 people next weekend. Listen to this. I'm going to close with this. Meliana mentioned it. I've written a devotional commentary on the book of Song of Solomon. It took me 22 years to write it. The other two, it took me four. But now I'm working on my next one. But I love this verse. It's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 5. It's just the first phrase. Who is this? Everybody say, who is this? When I look at that Canaanite woman, Meliana, who is she? Because I minister to counselors. I minister to so many people that suffer rejection and they can never overcome their rejection. I minister to people who have self-doubt and identity, and I realize that trauma is real and circumstances are real, and never want to be unempathetic of what people have dealt with. But when I look at this woman, who is this? I don't know about you, but I want the world to look at me. Who are you? Who is this that can still love God in the silence? Still worship God in the indifference of the church? Still love people in the midst of rejection and not get upset when you're called a dog? Who is this? I'll tell you who it is. It's my wife. She's one of them. She is. I've been married to her 37 years. She's a who is this? I want to be a who is this. Because when I get called a name, I want to fight somebody. I'm from California. We're rebellious. That's why we're recalling Newsom. We recall everybody we don't like. Who is this? Who is this that still have the previous pastor sitting in the front row and let the new pastor pastor the church? Who is this? Who is this that wants to change the political environment of Missouri? Who is this? That's who I want to be. I want the world to say, who are you, church? But notice what it says. Who is this? And I can invite Sean and the worship team up to the front. Who is this coming up? Everybody say, coming up. Coming up. How many want to come up? Yeah. How many want to come up? Ladies and gentlemen, it actually looks like that woman, that Canaanite woman, is going down initially. With the silence, the rejection, the indifference, the name calling, the attack on her identity and her race. She can do nothing about being a Canaanite. Who is this coming up? Because, ladies and gentlemen, I am not an end time teacher nor an eschatological teacher. I will never try to be. I appreciate people's different perspectives on the book of Revelation and end times. I appreciate all of them. I read all of them, and some of them make sense and some of them don't, but I appreciate all of them. But this is my eschatology. The church is not going down. The church is going up. I don't care what eschatology teachers say, what. My church is going up. I believe in resurrection. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We're not going down. We're going up. And because we're going up, now notice what it said. How many want to go up? How many want to come up?
Man.
How many want Pebble Creek to come up?
Yes.
Who is this coming up from the wilderness? Who is this woman who had the demon-possessed daughter that was in the wilderness, but she went up instead of going down? Who is she? How many want to come up out of the wilderness? How many want to know how to come up out of the wilderness? This is what it says. Leaning on her beloved. Man does not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. How she came up is she didn't lean on rejection. She didn't lean on silence. She didn't lean on indifference. She didn't lean on her own identity. She didn't lean on herself being called a dog. That's what she didn't lean on. Come on. Most of the times we're upset because we're leaning on the wrong thing. Come on. I don't have to, if I don't put weight on what they say, why should I lean on what you say if it didn't come out of God's mouth? Now, if it came out of God's mouth, I need to lean on that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And see, that's why she came out of the wilderness, and the church is going to come out of the wilderness. As I'm traveling all over the nation, the church is coming out of the wilderness. Lift your hands toward heaven right now. Father, we love you. Father, we adore you. Father, we thank you. And we love you and we appreciate you. In the name of Jesus, you can put your hands down right now. Here's what we're going to do before we go into altar ministry and respond to this message. How many want to come up out of the wilderness? Come on. How many want to bring people out of the wilderness? I can tell you this. The cry of my heart is to pull a generation out of the wilderness. That's why I'm so thankful we get to travel. Now, I'm going to believe God for an airplane. I'm going to believe God for a King Air, because a King Air can get me to California from here in 3.5 hours. I can believe God for twin. I can believe that. I'm going to believe God for that. I'm going to believe God that I'll be able to afford that so I can do more and bring more people out of the wilderness. But I want to say this to you. If we're going to come up out of the wilderness, because I can tell you this, haven't you ever been in an economic wilderness, a financial wilderness? In our 37 years of marriage, there has been more than one time we've been in an economic wilderness. But this is what we did to come out. It's not that I didn't go look for a second job and quit my calling because we're in the wilderness. What we did is we gave. We gave. We sowed a seed. We put a seed in the ground. And I was so blessed this morning As I was in the car waiting for Miliana, she was coming down. And she had the phone on speaker. She was talking to her sister who is in Orlando with all my grandkids and my kids and their spouses and my two of my nieces. So we've got a huge group of our family. And I was thinking of the fact that, you know what? When Meliana and I were our kids' age, there's no way we could even afford a trip like that. But because God has blessed Meliana and I and blessed our children, come on, and brought our family out of the wilderness, because when we were young and we continue to do it, we sowed seeds because we knew that our family didn't belong in the wilderness. Come on. So I'm going to ask you to do something. I don't want you to sow a seed today, this morning, for John and Meliana. What I want you to do is I want you to sow a seed so that your family comes out of the wilderness. Your loved ones come out of the wilderness. Your daughter, your son. Because if you're sick, you're in a wilderness. Come on. If loved ones are sick, they're in a wilderness. And here's what I want you to do. I'm going to invite the ushers up. If you're making out a check, you can make it out to Pebble Creek. There's a way you can give. There's an app where you can, they have an app where you can give. If you'd like to use your phone. I'm going to have the ushers come all the way up towards me. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to hold your gift in your hand. If it's your phone, hold your phone in your hand. If you're giving cash, you can just put it in the bucket. God remembers what you give. And I'm not going to tell you how much to give. That's between you and God. But I'm going to tell you this. Time and time again, every single time my wife and I found ourselves in the wilderness, didn't matter whether it was relationally, economically, spiritually, what we decided to do is sow a seed. And the next thing we knew, there was breakthrough, because this works. It works. It's the kingdom principle. Let me pray for your seed. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every single giver, from the youngest to the oldest. And I pray that they would actually put a name, they would put a reason of why they're giving, oh God. They would attach their faith to their seed. They would attach what they want to do. Just like that Canaanite woman, whose faith was greater than the rejection. She attached faith to what she wanted, and she got what she wanted, because man does not live upon bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Now bless every giver in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on and give God a shout of praise in the house. Give God a shout of praise. Go ahead, Sean.
I still believe your move. I still believe your speak. God, I believe your work, all things for good. So I fix my eyes on him. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe your work, all things for good. Oh, come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. Everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles.
Young man in the black shirt, good looking young man. Yes, sir. Come over here. Stretch forth your hands to him. The Spirit of God would say this to you right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Your mission, your assignment, your calling is to bring people out of the wilderness. I want to say something to you. This morning, I don't know why, when I was praying, your face came to my remembrance. I just began my first journey on the book of Jonah. I'm in the first chapter, the first few verses. And those sailors asked the prophet a question. Will you stop this storm? And then God reminded me of I saw your face just a few moments ago. Son, that's what the world is asking. Is there somebody that can stop this storm? And I can tell you something. The only way we stop the storm is we die to our mission. That's what happened to Jonah. When they let him throw him overboard. He let them. He said, God, I'm willing to die for the mission. I'm going to tell you something. There is going to be a sacrifice that God is going to ask you to do. Because everybody likes you. They look to you for answers. And in your coming days, in the coming life, people are going to say, do something about this storm. See, this is how you're going to calm it. Because you love God and you love what He's called you to do. Just like Jonah calmed the storm for the sailors and they acknowledged God. Even when Jonah wasn't fully obedient, they all got saved on that boat. And then what's going to happen, son, is there literally going to be people that give their lives to Christ because you're putting the mission more important than your own perspectives. Father, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, touch him right now in the name of Jesus. Give God a shout of praise right now. Give God a shout of praise. I'm going to ask Angie and Jace, Pastor JC, to stand up. Would you stretch forth your hands? How many love your pastors? How many love your pastors? I just hear the word of the Lord. I believe it was Dwayne that I was talking to last night. I'm talking to Dwayne at the end of the service. And I was talking to him about the fact that we can actually be in the will of God, but yet at the same time be in the storm. That's hard to theologically understand, but it's true. It's actually found in Mark chapter 6, verse 45 and following. Jesus prophesied to the disciples, get in the boat and go to the other side. And Angie and Pastor JC, God has prophesied for you to take a group of people to the other side. And yet, just like the disciples, as they're rowing toward the other side of the lake, the wind, the storm comes. And they are having a hard time gaining momentum. Here they are doing the will of God, but they find themselves in the middle of a storm. But God wanted me to tell both of you this. Because I've called you to take this church and this group of people to the other side. No matter what storm you may find yourself in, I am determined to get you to the other side. And son, I want to tell you something. Jesus interrupted his prayer life to rescue his disciples. And I'm making a promise to you and your wife. When you need a miracle, Jesus will rescue you every single time. Just as he rescued the disciples, he walked on water, which means, as Meliana said, he walked in a place he never walked. He didn't walk the way he used to walk. Because in order to rescue a generation, we have to walk where most people are afraid to walk, right in the middle of a storm. There are so many churches in America that are in the middle of a storm. And there's two responses: panic or faith. But when we know the will of God, that this is the will of God, that we get to the other side, we don't take on the narrative that we must have committed some kind of sin in the boat. Let me tell you, if all of the disciples would have jumped out of the boat, Jesus would never have walked on water. But what he did, because they stayed in the boat, they stayed in the will of God in the middle of a storm, and God came to them and stepped in their boat and calmed the storm. And I'm going to tell you something, Angie. This is a covenant that God is going to make with you. He's going to make it with your children. Anytime your children have a storm, God's going to remind you of this prophetic word: I'm coming in their boat to bring peace and to get them refocused again upon their primary mission. You won't have to calm it all the time. God will do it himself, because you stayed in the boat. Father, from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, I thank you for touching them right now. I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you for supernatural faith and great faith being released. I ask you, oh God. Meliana, come over here. I need to say this, JC. And Angie, put your hand on your husband. JC. Pastor Jason, that same great faith that woman had is being imparted to you right now. Because it's going to take great faith to pull people through. Because what she did is she pulled her daughter through that season in her life. But you're not just pulling your family. You're pulling so many. You're pulling 100-something people through. And it takes great faith to pull them through, because they have different dispositions, different perspectives, different experiences, different views, different ideas. But it takes great faith to pull them through. And when you have great faith, it doesn't matter how many problems they have, you can pull every one of them through. Because it is not going to be by your strength. It's going to be by you accessing the faith that God put on the inside of you. You're going to bring families through. You're going to bring from the youngest to the oldest through, and in between through. You're going to be spending a lot of time bringing them through their season so that they can walk in the fullness of God. And I'm going to tell you, that's why I'm so appreciative of Meliana sharing that story, because the thing is, you're willing to listen to instructions. That's why I called you. You're willing to shuffle if that's what you need to do. You're willing to bark if that's what you need to do. You're willing to do whatever you need to do to get people to their destination. And I know it's not easy. And I know that it can be a lot of emotional effort. But let me tell you, we are shaped in the wilderness, because in the wilderness we learn to tolerate pain. The pain of rejection, the pain of silence, the pain of indifference, the pain of the attack on our identity and our family. But the pain is not going to become your prophetic word or prophetic destiny. It's the promise that's going to become your destiny. Father, from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, touch them right now in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Give God a shout of praise right now. I want everyone to stand. I want everyone to stand all over the room. All over the room. All over the room. Go ahead and worship God. Go ahead and worship God.
I still believe your mood. I still believe your speaking. God, I believe your word. All things are good. I fix my eyes on heaven. God, I receive your vision. God, I receive your word.
John is singing that song, Meliana. That Canaanite woman built a house of miracles. Her faith built the house of miracles. Because man does not live upon bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Let me ask you a question. How many want to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God? Here's what I want you to do. On the count of three, I want you to run this to this altar. One, two, three. Come right now. Come right now. Come right now. Come right now. Noah. Come up here. Noah, come stand right here. taken me 8 years to remember your guys' names, but I got it. I got it down last night. Finally. Stretch forth your hands to Noah. Noah, you are entering into a season you've never been before. Meliana, come up here if you would please. I'm going to ask my wife to put her hand on your heart. Noah, I need to tell you this, because last night when we were at the restaurant, the Lord spoke this to me. He wanted me to tell you. One day, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen sooner than you think. Even though you're working on your education and your career. But God's going to give you a wife of great faith. A wife like my wife. Because, Noah, there's an intensity that you carry. And you need someone that has great faith. So you never, that won't question. Don't won't question things that when they don't work out, will stand in faith. Because they're with you, you're the kind of person, young man, that has like, you have like, you don't have one talent or two, you have like five talents. And the course that you're taking right now in your life, whatever course you take, you're going to succeed simply because God's gifted you to be able to thrive in any environment. And whatever environment God picks you up and puts you in, you're going to be fruitful because of the type of person you are. You're going to be able to navigate. And I'm going to say this. God is going to put you in front of demonic leaders. People in government. And you are going to be an instrument because you are going to become a modern day Daniel, says the Lord, as Daniel ministered to Nebuchadnezzar. And it's going to happen because there's going to be some major victories in these next 2 years where you're actually going to be standing as a representation of your school, of your generation. You're going to get picked. You're going to get chosen to stand before very, very influential people. Who you know and you don't agree with their ideology, their perspectives, so that your integrity, Noah, your life of holiness and integrity, those are two characteristics that God is burning on the inside of you that's going to cause your platform to get bigger. Without holiness, we cannot see God. Without integrity, we can't influence men. I'll say that again. Without holiness, we cannot see God. Without integrity, we can't influence men. And what God is doing is God is planting those attributes inside of your son. Father, from the top of his head. Father, he is going into arena. Where not only are there demons, there are prince of demons. There are dogs. There are vicious cycle of dog eat dog, of corruption and evil. But God, you're going to put him right in the middle of the fire and he's not going to get burned. Because your hand of protection is on this young man's life. Bless him now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give God a shout of praise right now. Give God a shout of praise. Lift your hands in worship. Lift your hands in worship.
One more time. This is the house of worship.
Yes, God.
This is a place of praise where every demon trembles, where we proclaim your name.
This is a house of healing.
This is a house of healing. And our hearts are full. You have our full attention. Oh Lord, you have the final say. Oh, so we will come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything feet of Jesus, everything to the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles.
Make that your prayer. Put your hand on your heart all over the house. I want you to say this after me. Jesus.
Jesus.
Here I stand.
Here I stand.
And because I am a house of miracles.
Because I am a house of miracles.
I don't stay in the wilderness.
I don't stay in the wilderness.
I come up out of the world. Because man do not live upon bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And Lord, right now, this morning, I did not hear a sermon. I heard a command. I'm going to your table, God. That's where I'm going to eat from. Because, Lord, my destination is not to die in the wilderness, but to experience your promise. In the name of Jesus. Now lift your hands and begin to thank him all over the house. Just thank him, just thank him, just thank him. Young man, right here, could you come stand right there? Lift your hands to Jesus. If I could get an usher to stand behind him, I'd greatly appreciate it. You were 13 and they brought you to the wrong well and you drank something you shouldn't have drunk. They set you up and it wasn't family or friends. It was demons. But God wanted me to tell you this. I brought you to the right well. For now you're going to drink from the right water. And you're going to hate the taste from the old well and love the taste of. What God is going to do with you, it's just like the woman at the well. You're going to go back and you're going to tell people, come to Pebble Creek. There's miracles in the house. Because your life changed. Where people are going to say, who are you? Who is this? What has happened to you? You will tell them, I've learned not to lean on my weakness, not to lean the fact that I have been abused and victimized. I've learned to lean on my beloved. Who is your beloved? His name is Jesus. And what he has done for me is he's marked me forever. He has changed my appetite. He has renewed my mind. He has set me completely free. Father, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, touch him right now in the name of Jesus. There it is. God is touching you, never to be the same again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on and give God a shout of praise right now. Give God a shout of praise right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hold your hands out like this. I'm going to pray for you. I want you back here tonight. Service starts at 6. So get here at 5:45 or so. Make sure you invite a friend. Go pick them up, bribe them, do whatever you can. Father, right now I thank you for these. And I ask you that this message, it didn't come from my study, because I know it didn't, because I couldn't come up with it. It came from you, this prophecy. I pray that every single person would understand the importance and the value of what proceeds out of your mouth. Because, Lord, there's a lot of mouths speaking some things in this word. There's a lot of mouths out there. They believe they know a lot of things. But, Lord, your mouth is pure. Your mouth is holy. And what comes out of your mouth is true. So that's what I'm going to live by. And that's what these are going to live by. Impart the words of your mouth in every single person within the sound of my voice. Amen and amen. Can we give God a shout of praise right now? Can we give God a shout of praise in the house? Are you glad you came to church this morning or now this afternoon? Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen, amen. Praise God. Something that Brother Harkey said earlier about, he knows his mouth could get him kicked off an airplane, reminded me of yesterday morning at Jack's first football game when I almost got kicked out because of my mouth. They called Jack for a flag guardian. Which, if you ever play flag football, you're not supposed to, like, you know, keep people's hands from your flags. I didn't agree with the call. I'm like, how are you supposed to run? I mean, who runs like this? You just run like this. He's not. Anyway, I wouldn't let it go. The official directed some comments towards me that I might spend the rest of the game in the parking lot. And so I had a choice to make. Even though in my flesh it felt like it might be worth watching or being in the parking lot. But if I would have let my mouth and my flesh control that situation, what would I have missed out on? The blessing of watching my son play. How many blessings do we miss out on because we can't control our mouth? Father, I just pray, God, that we do see, Lord, that this church is a house of miracles, but like Brother Harkey said, Lord, we are a walking, living house of miracles because we have the miracle-working God living on the inside of us. And so I just pray, God, I pray, Lord, that we have a good night tonight, a blessed night. I pray, God, even for those people who say, I'm just not a Sunday night kind of person, church person. No. God wants you to be here tonight. So you have a choice to make. You have a choice to make. Just like everybody has a choice whether or not they're going to come to this service or the other two, you have a choice. I know what my choice is. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and we will be here tonight. I hope you are here tonight. In Jesus' name, have a blessed day. God bless you. Thank you, Brother Harkey, Sister Harkey. Thank you, worship team. I hope y'all were blessed, and I hope you come back tonight. Amen. God bless.
All things for good. I fix my eyes on Him. God, I receive Your vision. God, I believe Your word. All things for good. So come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything. The name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles.